Be cool for once. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
Speaking of being cool, we got a fun story this week. I really like this one. You know, Anthony, I think one of the big things that I think about these dark days of our cultural, what is the word? Malaise, depression.
Abject terror.
There you go. You got it.
Yeah.
One of the things I think about is, you know, because I am a Pollyanna at heart, how can we just be a little nicer to each other? You know, how can we just be a little nicer? Just what are those little things that can make the world slightly less awful day to day? And there's some Italians on the job on this case right now.
Aunties. Now, listen, as two Italians, what we have to say is, this may be the first time in history that somebody just said, don't worry, there are Italians on the job.
Yeah.
Not known for our incredible work ethic.
No. Or reliability.
We're not known for punctuality.
No.
Listen, if you need a dude to chill with on a Sunday afternoon.
You want a guy to make a nice meal for you?
Buddy.
That's our tribe right there.
Literally, first Sunday of every month, I take 6 hours, I make a sauce. That's what I do.
Yeah.
But
it's Sauce Sunday.
But I'm not known for my, for being ambitious.
You're not a problem solver.
No. Never have been. Somebody's like, here's a problem. I go, ooh.
I need some sauce.
Seems bad.
I'm gonna go have a sip of that sauce, and
maybe it'll all work out.
No, but we got Italians on this one. We got folks in Milan. Francesco Pagnini, full professor of clinical psychology at the Faculty of Psychology in the Università Cattolica.
You are crushing it.
Crushing it. True Italian, right to my core. My ancestors are rolling around in their grave, but like in a positive way, like rolling around in a happy way.
Yeah. And leisurely.
So the sauce they have in there.
A leisurely roll.
Bread roll. Francesco Pagnini in Milan and his team have decided to do a series of experiments to try to figure out how we can get more pro-social behavior. Pro-social behavior is defined as the act of helping others. This is something where we, as a society, we encounter strangers in our daily life all the time. And pro-social behavior is the act of sort of kindness, of being helpful to strangers.
Give them one little kiss on each cheek.
That's right. Little you do the smooch, back smooch.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what you do. That's what they found in their study.
Done and done. No, actually, Anthony, they employed the use of something I think you and I can both get behind hard. They decided to use Batman.
Oh, I saw this story. Yes, this is fascinating.
This was a story that was posted in our Discord by multiple individuals because they wanted to make sure we saw it.
None of them have ever been seen at the same time as Bruce Wayne.
That's true. Michael Neth and our friend Cahoots, Jeff Engelstein, both posted this. This was a new study posted in the journal Mental Health Research about how maybe the mere presence of Batman can make people be nicer to each other.
You know, it's not the way Frank Miller would have written it.
Sure, but that guy's a real jerk, you know?
Yeah, that guy doesn't know anything about pro-social.
Yeah, he's antisocial.
You know, maybe you get Grant Morrison on a good day.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, maybe.
Yeah, Jim Lee.
Sure. So the idea here is, I mean, sure, you can theorize all the time that people might behave better if Batman was around. Batman's not real. Right. What do you do?
Well, here's what Professor Pagnini did. They went on the Milan subway. And they had a woman dressed up as a pregnant lady. She had a fake sort of pregnant belly.
And it turned out to be the Green Goblin.
That's the wrong... Green Goblin? Come on. That's not a Batman rogue gallery.
Well, and that's why this experiment didn't work. You have the Green Goblin in scarves and shawls on the subway going, my baby, my baby.
you need a Spider-Man for that one.
That's Come right.
On. All right. So, no, they had this woman wearing a fake pregnant belly under her clothes. And they saw how often people gave up their seat for this lady. They measured how often someone would give up their seat to let the pregnant lady have their seat.
I'm going to guess 20% of the time.
A little bit better. A little bit, 37% of the time.
Whoa, Milan's a lot more polite than New York or San Francisco, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. 37% of the time a passenger would give up their seat. This was,
by the
way...
How many times when you lived in the Bay Area and you were taking public transit, how many times did an elderly person or a pregnant person get on the train and you looked around and you realized no one was going to get up and it had to be you again?
That was very frequent. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I definitely was the guy who was always cognizant of that and always trying to do that. But it's wild to me how often some teenager would just be sitting there, not, you know, and the whole lady.
Train car full of people. And you're just like,
yeah, I guess it's me.
Okay, it's me. All right, no, yeah, sure. Don't be me. Yeah, it's me now.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, Milan 37, by the way, this was done. They did this 138 times, 70 times straight control session, no Batman.
Wait, so they're adding Batman to this mix.
They are adding in Batman.
So they had a woman get on the train. Looking like she was pregnant without Batman and without Batman being there, only 37% of the time did people get up and give their seat to this woman.
And then
they put Batman on the subway.
That's exactly right. They then tried it 68 more times where the pregnant woman gets on and then from a different door farther away, like he's not walking on right after her. He's not with her. She and he are not interacting. They have a guy dressed up as Batman get on the train from a different door, but in the same, you know, the same car. Yeah. But he's not interacting. He's just there as Batman. Do you want to know how many people gave up their seat when Batman was there?
Okay. If it was 37 without Batman, I'm going to say it just about doubled. I'm going to say that 70% got up when the Dark Knight was around.
Very close. 67. So 30% more people got up just having Batman present in the cabin. He's not saying anything.
No.
He's not doing anything. He's not talking to her.
He's not even looking at her.
As
a matter of fact, I would bet that they told Batman, don't you look at that lady.
That's right.
Because the moment you look at that lady, people are going to see, oh, Batman needs somebody to give up their seat for this lady.
That's right.
But here's my
Batman's
question.
Batman's not intimidating anybody.
No.
He's not standing, you know, he's not being like, you should probably give up your seat.
Yeah,
you know, like, none of that. He's just on the train. And he's just a guy.
You ever heard of the social contract? I'm sorry, what, Batman? The social contract. I would love it. Number one, I understand having Batman get on casually. Like, I would love it if he had like a couple Trader Joe's bags. I would love it if Batman had like a Kindle, like a bat Kindle.
Yeah.
You know,
Batman's got his little bat ear pods in, you know,
because
he doesn't want to be.
Batman puts ear pods in. Does he put them in at normal ear level or does he put them on the bat
top?
Ears? Yeah. Does he put them in the bat ears?
Think ear pods, he puts them at normal level. But if it's ear muffs, they're definitely at the top.
Yeah, like I would say probably.
earmuffs. The earmuffs are always going to be at the tip.
This is like the horse and pants question.
Exactly.
Which ears did Batman use? But I think it's also important to have Batman walk on casually, because like you don't want this pregnant person to walk on and then like up in the little place for bags that no one uses because everyone's a nightmare. Like Batman's crouched in that rack.
Yes.
Like Arkham style.
Yeah. Yeah. Batman is a normal passenger in this scenario. He's not stalking the train.
No, he can't be intimidating in any way. He can't be there on a mission. He simply has to be there casually.
Yeah. Well, actually, contrary to the mental image we just conjured, the most disappointing part of this whole experiment to me was it's Batman, but he's not wearing the cowl. So they didn't even have him wearing the cowl. He's in a full Batman costume, you know, insignia on the chest, cape, full Batman outfit, but the cowl is down. It's just some guy.
The data's corrupted.
Well,
the data's corrupted, Jeffrey. The data is corrupted. That's bullshit.
I agree. They said they didn't want to scare anybody that there's a masked person that just got on the train.
Absolutely. Fuck you. He's
Batman is
in
your fears.
No. Batman is the fear of a criminal, of the superstitious and cowardly lot. If you have nothing to fear, then you have nothing to fear from Batman. You already have him in the full suit. If people are going to think that there's an insane person dressed as Batman on the subway and be afraid of it, you're already there. And this brings up something that I was going to say about this entire study to begin with. Here are things that I already believe are corrupting this data and making it unusable. Okay? Number one, no fucking cowl on the Batman.
Yeah.
He's that weird, like, secret identity Batman figure that they always try to sell whenever they do Batman figures, where it's like, you could turn him into Bruce Wayne. And it's like, all they mean is you can take the cowl off and his suit looks shittier than normal. So that's number one, no cowl. I believe, full cowl, we could have gotten up to 80%.
You know, I think, but it's extraordinary to me that we get such a huge bump with, it's just some dude. It's just some guy who's dressed mostly as Batman.
The cowl really is the defining part.
I would agree with that. But
because otherwise the silhouette is just any other superhero, which brings up my secondary point, which is corrupting this data. Jeff, if you want to inspire people to do nice things and good things, why you choose, out of all the superheroes, why a Batman?
You mean it could have been a Superman? Superman would have been more inspiring.
Do you know who I think would have been the most inspiring for people right now across all generations? Would probably be a Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Wonder Woman probably be pretty impressive.
Spider-Man,
you don't have to worry about a mask there.
An Iron Man?
Iron Man, I think, is weird because the Iron Man suit's going to look dumb. You know, I mean, it's not going to be a real authentic looking Iron Man suit. It's going to be puffy and goofy. And
yeah, I don't know. So yeah, that's my, okay. So let's get to this. Let's stick a pin in why they chose the wrong hero. But what, explain to me the quality and level of Batman suit that we're talking about. Which version of Batman is this?
Well, they were very keen to point out that it has the insignia on the chest.
Yeah.
There's a photo that is in this article on nature.com. Mm-hmm. And it blurs out the face of the guy. But he is in a, I would say, better than off the shelf, better than most Halloween costume Batman, but not as good as like the best cosplay Batman you've seen. It's not, okay. This is not Comic-Con Batman. This is like, I don't know. It's a little bit better than a bad, you know, Spirit of Halloween Batman, but it's not, they're not going the extra mile here. He's got a utility belt. He's got sort of, you know, he's got the full gear on, the cape and everything.
Okay, I just pulled this up, and it's looking like he is a Christian Bale Batman or a Robert Pattinson Batman.
That's right. He's a modern, this is not, you know, 60s Batman.
Right, okay.
This is more modern, but it's recognizable as Batman. He's got the cape.
Yeah.
So then what they did is, you know, they measured this over 138 times. Mm-hmm. And when the people did give up their seat, they then, you know, they had the lady with the pregnant suit. They had the Batman on the show, and they had a third person who was a observer who, you know.
It's a Joker.
That's right. They told all of them riddles. No, they had a sort of an inconspicuous observer who was just there taking down the data, watching. And then when Batman and the woman would leave immediately, this only lasted like 2 to 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. So they would get to the next stop. They would get off. And then the researcher would come up and interview the person that gave up their seat.
Dressed as Robin.
Yeah. Dressed as Commissioner Gordon, I think is really, I have a few questions.
It's a Harvey Bullock comes up and he's like, hey, you seen the Batman around here?
No, but that's one of the questions that they asked. The most surprising thing about this, I think, is that 44% of the people that gave up their seat said they didn't even notice Batman was on the train.
And that's more than the 37% that usually would give up their seat. So even out of the corner of your eye, which is the only way you'll ever see him, even out of the corner of your eye, the presence of Batman just there enough for your lizard brain to register is enough for people to just, oh shit, I gotta give up my seat.
Here's the conclusion that they came to, which is anything that is sufficiently out of the ordinary has a domino effect. That what happens is we are sort of stuck in a modality. We're stuck in a expected set of circumstances. I'm on the train. I do this every day. I'm sitting here. This is what I do. There's a lady who came on, but I'm not even really paying attention. I'm not going to. I am closed off to the fact that there are other human beings going through their life. I'm inside this very insular experience that is about me and my routine. And anything that sparks some change out of that routine, that pulls you out of the normal everyday rut of experience, even if you don't directly see it, but it is sort of happening around you and everybody has sort of acknowledge that there's something weird on this train, even if you don't see it, you sort of pick up on those cues, and all of a sudden, you are now interacting with human beings in a way that is outside that routine, and now you're aware of them, and you're aware, oh, maybe I should give up my seat. You are more prone to be kind and humane and considerate.
Or this just proves that dudes are more into Batman than pregnant ladies.
Oh,
when you
that's
say
funny.
To a dude, if you say to a dude, hey, and you put two pictures in front of him, it's like, hey, which one of these two do you want to spend your time with? And the dude looks and it's the Batman or a lovely pregnant person.
I'll give you my
part
seat because I want to go
part of their community. They
I'll
look
give
and they
my
go,
seat to the credit lady because I want to go stand next to Batman.
That's right. Yeah, he didn't even see. They didn't even see the pregnant person come on the train. They just saw Batman come on. And they're like, "Oh shit, I gotta go say hey to Batman." I wonder. Hey, Batman, what you got in your utility belt, Batman?
Hey, what's up, Batman? Yeah, I don't know. That lady can have my seat. I'm just wanting to stand next to you, Batman.
What lady?
Yeah. It's what they weren't even giving up their seat. They just stood.
they just stood at attention for the Batman.
You know, actually, you want to hear the most depressing part of this, a not unexpected, but absolutely depressing part of this study. Without, in the control condition.
Death of Jason Todd?
that is very sad, yes. In the control condition, the people most willing to give up their seat were women. 68% of the people, 65% of the people in the control condition were women.
Sure.
When Batman gets on, the most common people to give up their seat, still women. 68% of the people who gave up their seat in the Batman condition were women.
Whoa.
Dudes be jerks. Like, I was always taught you give up your seat for a woman, you give up your seat, especially if pregnant woman or elderly woman. You give up your seat. I was always taught that's the chivalrous thing. That's what it means to be a man, is you think about, you let the woman have the seat. In both cases, no change. In fact, it's even more women, more percentage of women in the Batman condition. In both cases, over 60%, close to 70% of the people who gave up their seat were women.
Now, do we think it is because women saw a weirdo dressed like Batman get on the train and they just thought they'd stand closer to the exit?
Maybe.
They just thought like, hey, you know what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get up and I'm going to stand just a little bit closer to the exit. You know, he's not quite a jonkler. You know, he's not a joker, but we...
I mean, they are very clear in this study that they have not, you know, they do not rule out the possibility of, you know, weird connotations with Batman or people or men dressed in costumes. They're like, we're not digging into that. But
sure.
When they asked the people that gave up their seat why they did it, the most common response was the importance of recognizing pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Some referred to, like, that's just what you do. You just give up your seat. That's a social norm. Some people said safety. Some people said education. No one, not a single respondent, directly associated their gesture with the presence of Batman. Nobody said, Batman's
the hero we need. He's the hero we need, but not the hero we deserve right now. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
That's the thing. It's like he needs to be there. He needs to be a symbol.
Yeah.
You know, a dark knight.
What would you guess is the median age of a person who gave up their seat?
Who gives a shit about Batman?
Well,
age of a person who gives a shit about Batman?
Yeah. The people who gave up their seat, what was the... Well, I guess we have the mean age, not the median. The mean age.
Probably around 40.
41.
Yeah.
41. Yeah.
That's why you got to get a Spider-Man in there.
You think that'll get the youths to do it?
I think you got to get a Spider-Man in there maybe for the youths. You know?
Yeah.
Multiple Spider-Man. There are so many Spider-Man you can get in there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, Batman is an older character. I wonder if you got like a young Spider-Man looking guy, how that would affect things. But, you know, their position here is that anything that gets us out of our rut, that gets us out of not thinking about people as people. And this,
so does it need to be a superhero at all then?
No.
Could this be like the thing where you know, you're watching the video and it's like, you were watching how many times the people passed the basketball, but did you see the gorilla?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I think their position here is that the fact that something out of the ordinary occurs, even if it's so benign as to be, hey, weirdly dressed person gets on the subway. Something that it doesn't really affect me in any way, but it kind of gets me out of the routine of my thinking, that gets me out of today is just like yesterday, which was just like the day before. All of a sudden, that sparks pro-social behavior, that you start thinking of other human beings as human beings and you start acting more considerate to them because you understand that they're also in this odd situation with you.
Yeah, and, I wonder like how many people said that, like, did they dive in with people afterwards about like how much they even were paying attention before the pregnant, like, so that's the thing is I wonder how many people would say, if you interviewed the people who didn't get up, would say, yeah, like, dude, I didn't even notice a pregnant woman get on. Dude, I didn't even notice Batman get on. I'm here. I'm on my phone. I wasn't even paying attention. You know?
Yeah, what they didn't do is interview anybody that didn't give up their seat, right? They only interviewed the people that did give up their seat. Because they're like, hey, why didn't you give up that seat for your pregnant lady? You know, like, yeah, fuck off. But they only interviewed the folks that actually did do it. So
I'd ask the ones that didn't. I'd go around that one by one. I'd be like, how come you suck?
Yeah. I mean,
what's horrible about you personally?
They said in future research, they want to see whether different types of unexpected events that vary in emotional valence, that have a different symbolic meaning, like if those things actually can change the, you know, the intensity of the feeling. It's like, well, the symbol of Batman, did that have something to do with it? Or is it, you know, are there other symbols that inspire sort of, you know, more chivalrous behavior, more pro-social behavior?
Mm-hmm. I also wonder like how much of this is Milanese or Italian.
That's
or Europe or European, right?
Yeah.
Because when you say something like that, I think back to, you know, living in New York and taking the subway there, where just about all the time, if you're on the subway long enough, something weird happens.
Yeah.
Somebody gets on in a costume, somebody gets on to perform, somebody gets on with a weird, they're carrying like a weird art piece or something across town. And you're just like, there's enough weird stuff that in New York, I think people even get desensitized to the weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I certainly, and in thinking about this, relate it to situations in which I am sort of jarred into a real sense of presence in the moment. Like if, you know, something happens, like, you know, there's an earthquake or there's a, you know, obviously these are much more intense than just, you know, somebody in costume getting on a train. But I certainly do relate to the fact that all of a sudden, you know, you somebody gets into an accident on the side of the road or you see something, somebody falls down at a park, and all of a sudden now you're thinking about other people. You're thinking about, what can I do to help? What can I do to step into this situation? And yet, yes, those are emergencies, but I do think in kind of, you know, meditating on how that was happening in my brain in those moments, I do think it is a bit like being jarred out of your routine. I kind of see truth in this.
It sounds like we're just talking about mindfulness when you get,
yes,
when you get down to it. It sounds like
we're
talking about being present in moments of your life versus being on autopilot, right?
Yes. And
this is something we've talked about in a lot of different studies about mindfulness and how much we do sort of fall back on our default system.
Yeah.
Because we're made to sort of like get through the day with the least resistance, you know?
Have you ever had that experience where you're in your car and someone cuts you off or something and you're like, that motherfucker. And then you notice that it's like your neighbor or somebody you know. And you're like, oh, I'm sure they, yeah, I'm sure they were, you know, but like, every
Batman,
single
Batman didn't mean to cut me off.
Right.
He's probably like, I don't know, the Joker's lowering like Miss Gotham into a vat of acid or something right now.
He's got to get there, you know.
No, I understand. I'm sorry, Batman.
But I think that's not exactly the same thing we're talking about, but it feels sort of tangential to this. It's that moment of like, I am in everything, I'm in my little world, and how dare they? And it's like, oh wait, no, the world is different than I was conceiving of it just 4 seconds ago. You know, it's like, oh, the world now includes a person I'm aware of. I know that they're a human being that has human concerns and needs, and I know them and I understand what kind of person they are. They're not this faceless asshole that's just trying to ruin my day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sometimes they are.
I mean, sometimes they are.
Sometimes they are. And that's why we need the Batman.
That's right.
Is because sometimes they are villains.
That's why I have a red phone in my car.
Mm-hmm. I want to show for people who are video viewers, patreon.com/wehaveconcerns, if you want to be one of those. This is our Batman.
Yeah. And there's our pregnant lady too, right there.
That's right. Yeah. And he is holding the cowl.
He's holding the cowl. Yes.
He has the cowl with him.
I don't know if that counts, but I guess it kind of does.
So they decided, like, we get it, it's about the ears.
Yeah.
We know it's about the ears.
Like, he holds it up like a puppet and is like, why didn't you give up your seat?
Yeah.
Batman wants to know.
And that makes everybody feel much more cool about being on the subway is when the guy comes on dressed as Batman, talking to himself as Batman.
My favorite thing about this study, and this is, you know, one of the things I love about doing the show and reading about these experiments that, you know, they're trying to control them for certain variables and the mm-hmm. interesting ways they do that. One of the things that I would not have immediately assumed, but makes a certain amount of sense when you hear about it in retrospect, they wanted to isolate for like time of day. You know, they couldn't really control demographics, right?
Because he shouldn't be out there before sunset.
That's right. Yes. I mean, isn't there a ball at Wayne Manor right now? What's he even doing here?
And even if he's out at sunset, it needs to be like the last bit of sunset where it's really dramatic. You know,
sure.
We're talking about like blue hour. Like Batman doesn't come out until blue hour.
That's right.
So they were like, if Batman gets on the train and it's like 3 p.m., are people going to be like, that's not really Batman. That's just a guy.
That's right.
And I don't give a shit about him.
Well, Batman doesn't come out until 6 at the earliest.
At the earliest, dude. I mean, look, it's winter, so Batman could be out at like 5.
Yeah. Is it Batman's daylight savings already? Did we leap forward into the night? Is that what we did?
Yeah, he's always leaping forward. He's consistently leaping forward off a gargoyle.
No, but what they did to sort of isolate for time of day, and I think this is brilliant, is they had two teams get on the subway at opposite ends of the same train. So this experiment was happening in two cars at the same time. So there's a Batman and a pregnant lady and another Batman and another pregnant lady, each getting on at the same exact moment on different ends of the same train.
So this is Grant Morrison. This is Batman Incorporated.
Yeah. And I think that's brilliant. Can you imagine the person who's like walking from one end of the train to another for no reason, but they just see a Batman and a pregnant lady, and then they see another Batman and another pregnant lady?
Yeah, as the two trains pass. Like, wait a minute. One of you isn't the real Batman.
It's just
one
wild
of you
to
is
me
a
that, like,
robot named Hardak.
There's this crazy experiment happening in a train car, and unbeknownst to that train car, the exact same thing is happening in another train car. Just further down the train.
This is like the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
This is like in the Dark Knight where there are two ships.
That's right. Oh, wait, I forgot to tell you. One of the train cars has to die and you have to choose which.
Yeah, one of them has to die because it's not just a Batman experiment. It is a trolley experiment by its very nature.
Well, I think with funding this these days for science, you want to stack your experiments as much as possible, you know?
I think, why stop at two? How many lines does the Milan subway have? You could have a Batman on each train, and you could have different versions of Batman. Are people more moved by a Keaton Batman than they are by a Pattinson Batman?
Oh, I love that. A Batman Beyond, maybe, even.
Maybe a Batman Beyond. Maybe an Adam West holding a giant cartoon bomb. How does that affect things on the subway? What does that make people think? Everybody's getting out of their seat when Batman walks on with a bomb.
It is wild how everyone gave up their seat when Adam West Batman held up that enormous bomb.
Not even for anybody in particular. They just ran, dog.
Which superhero do you think would have the least ability to get people out of their seats? Like an Aquaman, or what are we thinking? Like a Guy Gardner? What are we thinking?
Probably an Aquaman, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably an Aquaman. I mean, maybe I'm trying to think of like... There were so many bad like CW versions of so many DC heroes.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, we're introducing every hero and we have $87.
What about like a Green Arrow gets on and everybody's just like, what's up with the little hat?
I think people respect Arrow because of the series.
Yeah.
Now a Hawkeye.
Hmm. Well, he had a series.
I don't think anybody gets up for a Hawkeye, but I think for a Green Arrow, certainly nobody's getting up for the Atom.
Well, how could you even see him?
It's true.
Give up your seat. I'm down here.
Who said that? I don't know. I think based on this, it's like, I think it's more about... I don't know, because I was going to say, I think it might be more about the quality of the costume.
Yeah, I think their position is disruption, you know?
Yeah. Looking at this, it's like, it looks like they bought one of those costumes that is mostly just like spandex with the muscles like printed on.
It's puffy. It's got some puffy to it.
It's got a little bit of puff to it, but I don't know.
It's not terrible, like, you know. It's not a unitard.
No. I think based on what you're saying for the study, it doesn't really matter. It could be the fucking Wonder Twins and people would get up.
I think that's their position, is that it, but I love the fact that they want to do this more with, you know, and try to isolate for symbolism, and, you know, if there are other factors that might add context.
People get up more for an alien or a predator.
I mean, definitely a predator. An alien. I'm cowering in the... I guess for a predator, you're cowering also. I don't know. I get up out of my seat if those three little dots are on my forehead.
For sure. 100%. Now, if you see the three dots, you're on the subway, you see the three predator dots on somebody else's forehead, do you push them aside?
Oh, I would hope so. I would hope so.
I don't think I would.
What if you're sitting... I feel like I've had this experience, sitting on the subway and the person opens their mouth and a second little mouth comes out right next to my chin, you know?
Yeah, then I do a purposeful ignoring, you know, like I've got my earbuds in and I'm just like, I'm going to pretend I don't even see the second little mouth coming out of the mouth.
Yeah, you go full Sigourney.
Yeah, like I'm not going to interact. I'm not going to engage because like... If I engage, like maybe a third little mouth comes out.
That's right. And you don't want to get into three conversations at once.
No, not in a public place. Have a little respect. Trying to talk to a stranger three times at once on the subway. Just let people get where they're going. Which Batman do you think people get up for the most?
I think it's a late stage Batman. I think it's a Nolan Batman or a Reeves Batman.
Yeah.
I think it's late stage Batman.
Do you think a Batfleck? Do you think people get up more for a Batfleck?
Batfleck is so armored. I mean, I guess maybe.
So armored. He's so large.
Yeah.
He's so large. I worry about him getting through the doors. He's a large, lumbering man.
That's right.
I think this is cool. I think this is very interesting because I think they have a good hook. We've talked a lot about how most researchers don't have that good hook. Like, it's a good experiment that they clearly want people to see. but they don't have the good hook. And when they're talking about how it probably could have been, you know, a clown juggling or anything yeah. that gets you out of your, like, that shocks you into being in the present moment, there's something about saying in the presence of a superhero.
Right. Yes.
No, everybody wants to be better in the presence of a superhero. And then you start reading the study and it's like, psych, you dorks. We just did the same thing to you that we did to the people on the train.
It's true.
You loser.
You wouldn't have clicked on this if it said, you know, any dalliance in the routine will
right.
cause you to be slightly kinder. No, you clicked on it because it's Batman.
That is good.
In fact, they understand the branding. Their article is called The Batman Effect, which is
it's good name.
Misleading, but good branding.
Yeah, because here's the thing, depending on who you talk to, the Batman Effect is cyclical, where the hero causes the villains, causes the hero. Do you know what I mean?
That's like Batman Effect for Batman.
Yeah, like that's the issue where there, a lot of people have talked about this, where it's like, hey, Bruce Wayne, why don't you put $1 billion into social programs?
Yeah.
Instead of
13, building a tank car.
Yeah, 13 matching tank cars. I need to have 13 of them. Why do you need that, Master Wayne? Why do you need 13 of them? It's like, because I gotta swap them out. It's like when they say if you have 3 pairs of shoes, they last 6 times longer than if you have 2 pairs of shoes and you swap them out.
Yes, but Master Wayne, if we
you
just
don't get
gave...
to be you don't get to be a billionaire by spending your money stupid. You know what I mean?
Master Wayne, if we just had a, I don't know, a fund for children, perhaps there would be less...
I got a fund for children. It's called going and watching their parents die at the circus and then saying, you've been chosen. You've been chosen to be a child soldier. Congratulations. Did you forget about the Bruce Wayne Child Soldier Fund? Maybe you're the daughter of an absentee father who is a villain. And I give you a crossbow, and then like maybe like if one Robin dies or like gets mad at me, you get to move up from being the crossbow girl to being Robin.
Don't worry, I'll give you pants.
That's right. The calling it the Batman Effect is good. That's good. This is good science marketing.
I'm gonna give this one of our
patented science marketing awards, which we've had stacked up in the corner,
literally,
and we've never been able to give out.
It's weird that we've made so many of them, and we're like 12 years into the show, and we've never given out a single one yet. That is weird.
We thought it would be great marketing for us. You know, we've got this award, and then people want to win the award, and then we think we get into sort of like a Batman cycle with that.
You know what our problem is our ridiculously high standards. That's us.
That's right. That's our problem. That's our problem as Italians, is our ridiculously high standards and work ethic.
Someday we'll get over.
Hey, always imagine that you're being watched by your hero.
I think is a good
piece of advice. I saw a TikTok because it's all I do now. I saw a TikTok where a woman was like, hey, if you're dating a guy and you really want to like cut to the heart of him and make him understand what you're trying to say, just tell him his hero would be disappointed in him. Like if he does something, find out who his childhood hero guy is. And like, if he does something that's like disappointing, just look at him and be like,
yeah, Tom Brady would be so sad right now.
Goku would not like you right now. Goku would be so disappointed. Spider-Man would absolutely hate you right
now. Skywalker wouldn't.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker would just shake his head. He'd be so disappointed. And I think, and I laughed so hard because it's kind of true. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of true, speaking as a gigantic man child. Like if you literally told me, if you were just like, hey man, Peter Parker would keep going.
Yeah.
I'd be like, shit, Peter Parker would keep going. Fuck, you're right. I can't believe I gave up when Peter Parker would have kept going right now. And you could try to tell me, like, I would be disappointing friends or family or whatever. You could be, you know, you could be like, your mother would be so disappointed. Who cares? Literally, who cares? Eat shit. Who cares? But if you're like, Peter Parker would have done it, I'd be like, shit, yeah. Fuck, Peter Parker would have done it. Fuck, you're right. I'm sorry.
True. This is useful info.
It is useful info. And I think to flip that around in a way that isn't negative feedback, look at what they did on this train.
Peter Parker would have been so proud of you.
Yeah.
Give Peter up your
Parker
seat.
Peter Parker would have been pinned under the train and would have lifted it.
That's
because
right.
He had to, because there was no one else who was going to stop the lizard from eating his child.
That's what they got to do the next for this. They don't have Spider-Man come on the train. They have a pregnant lady, and then they have Spider-Man plastered to the front of the train.
That's right.
Arms akimbo.
The pregnant woman comes in and goes, oh my God! The train's out of control!
And which people lift Spider-Man on their hands and carry him, you know, as one giant mosh pit to the hospital.
Yeah, they take off his mask to resuscitate him. They're like, oh my God, he's just a kid. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
That's pro-social behavior. That's pro-social behavior.
So that's what I'm saying is like, imagine it sort of the way that they did on this train, where it's like anytime you sort of feel yourself, you know, maybe being grumpy or being detached or being, just be like, what if Goku was watching me right now? What if Midoriya from My Hero Academia was watching me right now?
What if the red Power Ranger could see you?
What if one of the 37 red Power Rangers could see you? Or all of them?
What if all of the Power Rangers...
And they're standing around you in a circle and pointing because they're so disappointed. And they're just shaking their head slowly. And you can't see their face because of the helmet, but you can tell. You can tell because they're all very good with pantomime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how they were cast.
Yeah, and you can tell that they're just very disappointed in you. It's a lesson to be learned. Thank you to everybody who sent this in.
Yeah, thank you. If you'd like to send in a story for our consideration, you got to do it on the Discord. It's the best place to do it. We have an awesome Discord. The only catch is that it's an exclusive club. It's an exclusive club for the cools. How do you become a member of that club? Well, it's easy. All you got to do
Your parents get killed in front of you.
Yeah.
And you it's go train in the Himalayas with, I guess, an Irish guy? Guess?
No, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns, a single dollar every month. That's $12 a year. It's such a pittance for most. And you could help support this show and get access to that Discord. Of course, if you have a little extra support you want to send our way, make sure that we're able to continue giving you stories like this. You get extra stuff. You get extra cool bonus perks. You get those cool conversations we're having at the beginning. You get video. All sorts of other things available to you at patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.
Vengeance. It's me, Dave Vengeance.
Give up your seat.
Give up your seat.